Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumery. Thank you for tuning in. Juneau's public transportation system is ramping up its services for the summer tourism season starting this week. Capital Transit Superintendent Rich Ross says the schedule changes are aimed at easing the annual overcrowding on buses from cruise ship visitors.
This is definitely a ramp up compared to previous seasons. So this year, we're just trying to continue to make sure that there's adequate service for locals and visitors alike.
The new changes include extending bus hours on Sundays and holiday weekends, adding a new stop near Safeway, and boosting services from downtown to the Mendenhall Valley. Ross says the changes were prompted after the record-breaking 2023 summer season, when many visitors opted to ride city buses instead of private tours to see the Mendenhall Glacier.
What was happening was buses were being completely filled up downtown at the Downtown Transit Center and then passing by local residents all the way to the glacier and back in the other direction as well.
According to data compiled by bus drivers during that season, nearly 400 people were left behind at bus stops. Seven were in wheelchairs. That typically happened on days with more ships in town. Last summer, the city implemented a tripper bus service to try and alleviate the overcrowding. It was essentially an extra bus that would follow the buses that already go from downtown to the Mendenhall Valley near the glacier. Ross says this year, Capital Transit opted to increase the frequency of buses headed toward the Mendenhall Valley instead of continuing that service. Juneau is expected to see around 1.6 million passengers come off ships between now and late October when the season ends. The city is using money collected annually from cruise ship passengers to help pay for the increased bus service. Capital Transit also recently launched a new mobile app that allows riders to pay fares with their phones. Juneau School District Board of Education member Will Muldoon stepped down from his position yesterday. According to a press release from the district, Muldoon submitted his resignation effective immediately and gave no reason for his departure. Muldoon won his seat in 2021 as the first write-in candidate elected to the school board in decades. He was re-elected to another three-year term last year. Muldoon did not respond to a request for comment on Tuesday. The board has 30 days to fill Muldoon's position. The newly appointed member will serve until this year's municipal election in October, when the public will elect a member to serve the remainder of the term. Applicants for the position must be qualified to vote in Juneau and cannot be a district employee. And the City and Borough of Juneau is starting the three-year-long process of updating its comprehensive plan. It took the first step today with two community listening sessions at Centennial Hall and Thunder Mountain Middle School. A comprehensive plan is a document designed to help the city determine how the community wants to see Juneau change and grow over the next two decades. Not only does a comprehensive plan inform policy, but it also provides a baseline understanding of where the community stands on certain topics like housing, economic development, childcare, and the growth of cruise ship tourism. The last time the plan was updated was in 2013. Sachi Arakawa, the lead consultant on the project, says a lot has changed over the last decade, and even more will change in the next 20 years. At a listening session this afternoon, she said this plan is to prepare for that.
This is about, like, growth. So how do we want to grow? We know Juneau has a lot of constraints around growth, but we still want to think about what we can do about things like transportation and housing and recreation planning and economic development.
Over the next 3 years, Arakawa and a team of consultants will work with the city to develop the plan using feedback they get from residents at community events and public meetings. The plan will eventually go to the Juneau Assembly for adoption. In 2013, priorities like loosening zoning restrictions and developing more affordable housing emerged as hot-button issues for residents. Juneau resident Chrissy McNally, who attended the afternoon session, says those same issues persist today. She worries they keep people from staying in Juneau long-term.
We need to sustain our community and grow and be a place where people can, you know, live at all stages of their life. And, you know, I own my own home, and even though I earn more than I've ever earned, it still feels like life is a bit unsustainable here. So it's always in the back of my mind that I should always consider, you know, moving to see if there's more affordable options.
The city held two community listening sessions today, and there'll be two more tomorrow. One at Mendenhall Valley Library from 11 to 1 p.m. and another at Juneau Douglas High School, Yad'ak Kahle, from 6 to 8 p.m. Residents can also suggest ideas or share comments for the plan on the city's website. And learning to swim is an important skill, especially in Alaska. The state has the longest coastline and the highest rates of drowning in the country. One way to reduce that risk is through swimming lessons. And in Juneau, babies can start learning as young as 6 months. KTOO's Jamie Deep reports the city has expanded its class offerings for its youngest residents.
He does fine.
Babies and toddlers splash, float, and blow bubbles at the Diamond Park Aquatic Center in Juneau on a recent Saturday morning. Adults sing with their children as swim instructor Katie McEwen moves through the pool with a bright blue rowboat and takes the young students on a ride. This is all part of the pool's parent and taught classes. These classes do more than give babies playtime in the pool. Juno's aquatics programming coordinator Ellen Johnston says it teaches both parent and child how to be safe in the water.
The parent is learning how to make the water a safe and fun place and introduce basic swim concepts like buoyancy and breath control through blowing bubbles. And the child is learning that the water is a safe, fun place to be, but also a place where there are limits and safety considerations.
Southeast Alaska has the third highest drowning rate in the state, according to the most recent state report. Johnston says these classes can teach children life-saving skills.
Water is an unavoidable fact of life in Juneau, and making sure that kids know how to avoid unsafe incidents in the water and what to do if they see or are involved in a dangerous water incident can really be the difference in saving a life.
Johnson says this class is one of the most popular ones the city pools offer. She says they're currently running 4 classes, but that number changes throughout the year depending on staffing. Katie McEwen is one of the swim instructors for the class. She got certified to teach in January because she thought the city needed to offer more classes.
I noticed there were less and less swimming lessons available to my own kids, and I just saw that demand, and instead of complaining about it anymore, I really just wanted to do something.
McEwen put her own kids through swim lessons at the pool and wanted to make sure other parents had the same opportunity she did. She says it's rewarding to teach classes for some of the pool's youngest patrons.
It's so rewarding to watch the babies. There are babies on the first day that are completely terrified, so mad about being there, and they're crying. And then by the last class, like today, they're completely relaxed in the water. They're going under with their parents. They're all just so excited, and everybody is so supportive of all the other babies.
Amanda Riles is in the class with her 9-month-old son, TJ. Riles says she's learned a lot from the class on how to be safe in the water with her baby.
It's not something that I know how to teach him necessarily without instruction. So the instructors are pretty awesome and working with us, and he's doing great in the classes.
She says they're signed up for another session of classes and hope to keep coming back to the pool.
He's going to be a water baby, we think, so we want him to get as much time in the water as he can and enjoy it.
The current sessions of classes will keep running through May and June, and Johnson says they typically offer more year-round. Hanging out on the pool deck in Juneau, I'm Jamie Deep.
And you're listening to Tongass Voices, perspectives from the homelands of the Occoquan and beyond. Tessa Hulls has worked a lot of jobs, biked a lot of trails, and lived a few different lives in and outside of Alaska. A part of her was running from something, but she spent the last decade turning to face it and writing a graphic memoir about her family's history. The memoir is called Feeding Ghosts, and it's won 3 national awards.
I have always been somebody who wrote. You know, I was one of those kids where from the age I could shove a crayon up my nose, it was clear I was going to be a writer and an artist, and there's not any route I could have taken that would have allowed me to escape that. My name is Tessa Hulls. I am an artist, writer, and adventurer who drew and wrote the graphic memoir Feeding Ghosts. And my grandmother, Sun Yi, she was a journalist in Shanghai during the communist takeover, and she ended up on the wrong side of political history. So she was labeled a dissident and was arrested and put through Maoist-era thought reform. And for her, writing was the way in which she tried to assert her own reality, even as she watched the government take over and deny everything that was happening. And it was something that was both her liberation, but also ultimately what broke her mind. Because after she and my mom fled China as political refugees, they went to Hong Kong, and my grandma wrote a memoir about 8 years of living under the communist regime, and then unfortunately had a mental breakdown. And she never really regained her sanity, and she spent the rest of her life trying to rewrite the story that had been taken from her. Yeah, well, I think when I first started the book, I was really determined to not talk about any feelings. It was just going to be about history. I was not going to be a character in it. And once I was able to commission a translation of my grandmother's memoir, because it was written in Chinese and never translated into English, when I opened it and finally read her book, it was kind of the first time that I ever heard her voice, because even though I grew up with her and my nuclear family, we had a language barrier, and she was also heavily medicated on antipsychotics. So when I started reading this book that she had written as a political refugee in her 20s, I just immediately went, oh, no. Because I knew suddenly the scope of what I was trying to do had become infinitely more complicated, and the book was going to have to contend with the question of what is truth when you're working with both an unreliable mind and a government that is dismantling reality all around you. I didn't feel like I had a choice. My family goes literally told me I had to do this. So I would spend full summers working in Alaska and then would freelance as an artist and writer in Seattle in fall and winter, and then spend 2 months alone on a solo bikepacking trip. And I was doing it in a way that felt really authentic to what I needed, but I also was well aware that I was running from something. And so I was on one of these bike trips, kind of realizing that this chapter of my life where I was just hoarding my own wonder had come to an end, and that I needed to step into a different kind of responsibility. And so I was biking alone up a mountain and talking to myself. And so I said, okay, if this chapter is done, what comes next? And the landscape opened up and spoke to me and said, someone has to feed the ghosts. And my book is called Feeding Ghosts, because that was the beginning of this 9-year process of really stepping into something that was my family duty.
That was Tessa Holz, the Juneau-based author of Feeding Ghosts, a graphic memoir about her family's history. You can find Feeding Ghosts at Alaska Robotics, where Holz will launch the paperback version with a party on May 6th at 5:30 p.m. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 44 degrees and lightly raining, and we've got more rain on the way tonight and tomorrow. This is KTOO.